You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Monday, Pirates fans, and you are listening to Clear the Deck on Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. It's been an exciting weekend. Series win over the Brewers. Alex Stumpf, my co-host, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a lovely Sunday. At least compared to the other Sundays that we've recorded.
Yes.
It's a lot temperature-wise. Pirates game isn't officially over, but it's 9-0 in the ninth. I feel like this is a pretty easy early call that they're going to win this and take the series in Milwaukee, which how many times can you say that? Not that bad. Yourself?
You know, I was out at People's Natural Gas Field looking to see some quality pitching for Joe Musgrove today, a rehab start scheduled for today. However, Mother Nature pushed that back initially until Monday, and then the game itself got postponed. So I actually ended up crashing a graduation party, which in the suite right next door to the press box, a couple of my former players from Little League, from when I coached back in the day, spotted me from afar and sent me a Snapchat very stalkingly, and then the rest is history. I had some pizza, some chicken, and some ice cream cake, so I'd like to thank the McGinnises for having me over to their graduation party. Mason is graduating from Penn State, and Avery is graduating from Altoona Area High School on June 1st. So shout out to those guys for letting me take part in their day while we took part in Rain Delay Theater.
So you're going to be a regular Bill Murray type whenever people have these big life events.
Absolutely.
You're just going to, yeah.
I wasn't in the mood for a Curb Burger. I think Tuesday I'll be in a perfect mood for the Curb Burger.
That's good.
Because
I'm going to be there Tuesday.
That's right. So while we're on that subject, while we're talking about Tuesday, here's the thing. We're both going to be in Curb PA. We're going to be promoting Locked On Pirates.
PA.
It's Curb PA.
Especially
at the ballpark. They won't ever let you forget that. But I think it's a great time to announce that we're going to be promoting the Locked On Pirates Facebook page and the launch of that. So if you can, go follow us or like us on Facebook at Locked On Pirates. Alex and I will be live pregame from the ballpark. So not only will you get to hear our voices, but you'll also get to see our faces. And please don't let that distract you from reading our content or listening. We're truly not trying to break your screens. We're just trying to promote a new page. Don't hold it against us for our looks. You really should just like us for our lovely, soothing voices and our quality Pirates and Curb analysis.
Yeah, I mean, our Twitter followers are going to take a hit, but besides that, we'll be fine.
Mine fluctuate, and I think
it's worth it for the promoting the brand on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. And Alex, how many followers do you have on Twitter?
I'm fluctuating on around 500, depending on how many bots that say I could go see this very attractive girl naked at this link are following at the moment.
I believe I have over 400 more than you do, so kudos to you for that. I don't know why that is.
You're a man of the people. You're the man of the people. That's why.
Something like that.
I am too. You're a better man of the people.
Thanks, Alex. I've also been around the game a little bit longer as far as Twitter, I'm sure. Little age there. But let's get down to business. Enough about Twitter and Facebook. We can get into that on Tuesday. The Pirates are in a perplexing situation here with Nick Kingham. He's looked superhuman in one start and then looked incredibly mortal in another, and fitting in very well with the Pirates rotation with having his woes in the sixth inning, which has come standard for most of the Pirate pitchers this season. What do the Pirates do from here?
Well, I mean, they don't need a fifth starter for the foreseeable future, at least a couple trips through the rotation, because they have so many off days coming up these next 2 weeks.
And Clint Hurdle loves to keep pitchers on routine. He is such a creature of habit,
yes,
as a manager, that if you're pitching every fifth day now, you're pitching every fifth day then, whether you're in line or not.
Exactly. So I think that probably does lead to Kingham getting demoted. Jose Asuna being promoted. What I would like to do, honestly, since the Pirates' pitching has been among the worst in baseball, third time through the order, which ties in with that sixth inning situation, I would like for these next couple games to have the starters only go through the rotation twice, especially the younger guys like Taillon, Cole, Williams, guys who have never thrown 160 professional innings in a season. I mean, that's not that high a number. That's a five-inning start every 5 days, once every five, where you're supposed to go. If you're healthy throughout the year, you're going to throw 160 innings almost by default. So I think that would be interesting, have either Brault or Glasnow or Kingham, if you want to go with a crazy nine-man bullpen for a short time being, especially in Chicago for that two-game series with the White Sox, where you have the DH, you don't really need a bench. So I might be interested in that, but I think the far more likely scenario is Kingham gets demoted, Jose Asuna takes his place, and will stay there until they need either a fifth starter or Joe Musgrove is ready to go again.
So, okay, there we have that as well with Joe Musgrove on the rehab train, and the station is currently in Altoona, where he's going to be looking to get through four innings during his start here today on Monday. So the thing is, do you, when he's healthy and able to rejoin the rotation, he was traded for to be a starter. The Pirates want him to be a starter in their rotation. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, in my opinion. So what happens when he gets up there? Do you demote a guy like Kingham with if he's still there? And do you make it more of a pitching duel between Chad Kuhl and Joe Musgrove? What do you do there?
Well, if it is a pitching duel between Chad Kuhl and Joe Musgrove, Kuhl did a good pushback Sunday afternoon with seven scoreless innings.
Right. Do you think that because he knows that, or there's even that remote thought in the back of his mind that, hey, my job is on the line currently?
It might have been. I don't know. I'm not in the head of Chad Kuhl, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was thinking that, especially with Kingham throwing seven perfect innings, or near seven perfect innings his first start. And then his second start, he got lit up third time through the order, but the first two, my goodness, he was putting that change up wherever he wanted it. He was sequencing his off speed and breaking stuff so well. It was a check swing double and had to go from the stretch then, and everything just kind of fell apart from there. So it just wasn't his inning. It was the first time in his career that he had to wear, you know, a rough start. And even then, he wasn't that bad. He put his team in a position to get, he got the win.
Right, and he only gave up four innings, which is still
four runs in, like, right. Five and change innings. Yeah, it's not that
terrible.
Egregious a start. Yeah.
Right. So my I don't know how I would handle it, and luckily I'm not in that position, and there's been some chatter about it recently. So you have three guys for two spots. You have Chad Kuhl. In the way that we get to that point is because you're not moving Taillon, you're not moving Ivan Nova, and you're not touching Trevor Williams, because Trevor Williams has been their best starter, in my opinion.
They're most consistent so far, yeah.
Right. So it's between Chad Kuhl, Joe Musgrove, if and when healthy, and then you've got Kingham also in the fold, because Brault's finally transitioned back to the reliever role that I think he's going to be successful in. So what do you do? To me, I don't see how, after these two starts, that you send Kingham down. Now, Chad Kuhl, he's been hit or miss pretty much all season. And that's not, I'm not talking necessarily at the plate. I'm talking about, or while he's on the mound, sorry. But I'm talking about, you don't know what you're going to get from him. He's been very streaky, much like the team, which is kind of a microcosm of that. But you also want to see what Musgrove and Kingham can do in extended times as well.
Yeah, I think it is probably Kingham, though, going back down to AAA.
He does have an option left, I believe.
Yeah, this is his last option year. And you don't want to burn an option year for Musgrove. You could for Chad, even though they did option him his first year in the majors. So I believe he only has two potentially left. I don't know if he was on the 40-man before 2016. I don't think he was.
I'm not 100% sure of the contract figures, but I can also see that as well.
They could option him, but maybe you don't want to, I guess, is the best way to his grind has to be done at the major league level. Where Kingham, the slider was great, but he's only been throwing it for a month. It could still improve, and the Pirates aren't going to go the rest of the year with only five starters once Musgrove gets back. Someone's going to get hurt. Kingham will get another chance to start this year in the major leagues if he gets optioned. If it truly is just merit-based, he definitely deserves to be in the rotation after two looks. Give him a third. But, you know, it's a team sport situation as it is right now. He's probably the guy drawing the short straw.
Right. It's a tough situation because you have a guy that's pitched admirably well in his two major league starts after 8 years in the minors and within the organization. So it's a tough spot for everybody involved. Because you have a guy, Joe Musgrove, that you traded Garrett Cole for as part of that package. So it's crazy to think now that you have this logjam, and you brought it up as well. It's very possible that somebody gets hurt. We're only 2 months into the season, not even. So it's one of those things where you don't know what's going to happen. Somebody could kick their toe on a laundry cart or sneeze going down the stairs and throw out their back. And Tyone doesn't have a very clean history for injury. Nova's been on the DL a time or two. So anything is possible as far as the injury bug goes. Now, knock on wood, you hope that something like that doesn't happen, but now you're almost in a tight little logjam here moving forward once Musgrove finally gets over his injury bug.
So, the Pirates, like we started off the show by saying, beat the Brew Crew in Milwaukee 2-3, swept in Washington, which going along that 4-game sweep with Philadelphia, I'm sure they are counting down how many games they've got left on the road against the NL East. They're doing pretty darn good.
Can they just forfeit those games?
Yeah, get them out of the way. Save the bullpen. No, but it's almost bizarro parts or what's been said for the last, I don't know how many years. They have 4 series in the division so far. 2 out of 3 in Chicago. They took 3 out of 4 against the Reds. 2 out of 3 in Milwaukee. And they straight up swept St. Louis, which this is different. And not to say one win is worth more than the other, but if you want to win the division or at least compete in the division, you have to beat division. That's the only reason why they're hanging around in the race right now and why this year there's still some hope.
Yeah, and that's true. What's scary about the division is, well, you play them the most. So yeah, those are the teams that you're most familiar with. Do I see the Cincinnati Reds as a threat? Absolutely not. They're a 4A baseball club at the moment. If there was relegation, there's a very good chance the Reds could get relegated, which would actually be kind of entertaining.
The Reds played the last couple years for the sole purpose of being a spoiler for the Pirates.
Right, and now that hasn't really been the case because the Pirate Killers of old are gone, and that is so beautiful. I'm looking at you, Jay Bruce. But that said, you've still got to be able to beat other teams within the league. The division's all well and dandy, but at the end of the day, there will be times where you're going to have to beat other teams. And the Pirates, aside from the AL Central, really haven't been able to do that. The sweeps have been awful from the NL West and downright embarrassing. I mean, obviously, with the roster like the Nationals, they were due to wake up. I thought they were a sleeping giant, and man, did they wake up.
They did it without Murphy or Eaton, or two. That was the real scary part.
I saw some balls fly off of Bryce Harper's bat that I don't think have landed yet.
I don't know how people can say he's not a superstar or one of the league's superstars. He had an off year.
People are saying that he's not a superstar?
You haven't seen this debate on Twitter?
I'm sorry, I have.
They're like, oh, is Bryce Harper a superstar? You know, the guy who has the second most WAR among outfielders behind Mike Trout since 2015. You you don't need to take off your socks and shoes how many position players have put up 10 WAR in a season over the last, let's say, 20, 30 years, or even longer than that, 50 years. How about that?
Yeah, I think I would imagine it. In my opinion, he's top five as far as superstars in the game. You look at a guy, he's right up there with
and
the position players.
I'm not talking like personality profile. Like, he does have that superstar vibe around him. He kind of has that.
He has that aura.
Arms-esque aura, yeah.
And he's a slugger. He's a power hitting guy. I love the way he played the game as soon as he came into the league. I liked the balls to the wall style, and I liked the hustle. And that's something you don't hear out of his camp, is you don't hear people knocking him for not hustling or running out of the box. So he's a consummate pro as far as that goes. And can he be brash at times? Absolutely. But to me, he's a top five superstar in the game. He's a guy that you pay to watch. And I've done it. I've paid to watch him play, especially his first year with the Nationals when they came to PNC Park. It's one of those things you want to see a guy like that play. He's a Kershaw. He's a Judge. He's a Mike Trout. He's one of those guys that you want to see play day in and day out, and you hope that he is successful. And for the most part in his career,
you know, Alex,
he has been very successful. And we've talked about mashing balls here. And with that, let's segue into Yadier Molina. Up until today, or yeah, last night, when he was pulled out of the game due to severe groin injury, he's played an innumerable amount of games for the Cardinals this year. And what's absurd is that you look at a team like the Pirates. We have Elias Diaz and Francisco Cervelli, who've been really 1A and 1B as far as catchers go, which has been really a first for that. Usually, in the past, it's been Chris Stewart, who's been in the lineup either when Garrett Cole pitched, or it's been one of those situations where he pitched when it was the kids make the lineup Sundays, where they just put all the bench guys in. But Yadier Molina had appeared, and let me just pull this up. And what was?
Yeah, in case you're completely oblivious to it. Yadi got hit in the Molina brothers and actually needed surgery on Saturday or Sunday. I don't know when it was. He's got to be out for about a month. So wish him a speedy recovery. Make sure his boys are okay.
Right, and it's...
Which... and I go on Reddit and I see this one guy. He's like, man, I cringe whenever I see these threads because I caught, you know, in high school and I didn't wear a cup. Which...
That's ballsy. Pun intended.
Yeah, you might not be ballsy for much longer if you do that. I mean, that's dumb. If you're... Anyone who catches at any level, wear a cup. I mean, Yadi did it. He got hit hard. Caleb Joseph a couple years ago, same situation.
Yeah, it's absurd. 2018, he's appeared in 30 games. He had appeared in 30 games. And let me just scroll up to the...
They've probably only played about 32 or so, right?
They're 19-12, so they played 31. So he still only missed one game. That, first of all, that's absurd.
Yeah.
But it also speaks to the depth that they have for catchers. Now, I will say this. It's no laughing matter when a guy gets hit in the privates. We've all had it done as far as guys, and it's not a pleasant experience. This guy took 102 miles per hour straight to the pelvis. I cringe.
Yeah.
I'm in pain just thinking about that after seeing the images. And they, while they might not be graphic to some people, if you're a guy and you're listening, you get a little bit of the chills, and you just kind of empathize that, wow, that's a lot of pain. And for an Iron Man, kind of at the catching position like he has been, he's been a rock, a keystone in that lineup for so long, and the Cardinals not having a guy like that to handle a pitching staff that's not the greatest but also not the worst in the NL Central, it's one of those things that could be a huge factor later in the season because of the games that he missed if they miss a beat or two with who fills in for him.
Or to look at it in a completely Pittsburgh point of view. Pirates swept the Cardinals, their first series. And like I said, Yadi's expected to miss about 4 weeks a month at least. Pirates are playing the Cardinals twice these next four weeks, this next month. He's got a, whenever he comes back, the Pirates would have already played half of their games against St. Louis.
Right, and that's a, and this is a guy that's really,
he's probably been their team MVP for the better part of a decade.
Right. So not only do you have that, but this is a guy who's, you're going to miss the bat, you're going to miss the defensive play behind the plate. So now's the time for the NL Central to really be like, all right, well, time to beat up on the Cardinals and hope for the best. Now, obviously, they have eight other guys in that lineup, including the pitcher, that are able to go out and compete every day, but they're not Yadi Molina. He's, I think, on his way to a Hall of Fame career as a catcher. He might not be first ballot, but...
Oh, he's going to the Hall. That's not...
He's going to be there. So, it's just one of those things. Now, let's gang up on the Cardinals and really beat them when they're down in hopes of extending your successes within the NL Central. And don't get me wrong. That is a tough loss. The Pirates would be okay if they lost either Cervelli or Diaz because of who they have behind them. As far as if they lose Cervelli, they get Diaz. And if they lose Diaz, they still have, obviously, Cervelli. So the Pirates are in good shape as far as an injury to that position is concerned for the time being. Whereas that never really used to be the case. But for the Cardinals, they bring up their one of their catching prospects and their backup, who's really not played a lot by any means. So that's...
No.
That's
and to take the Pirates, obviously Cervelli's value on this team, he's one of the most valuable catchers in baseball, at least offensively. Pitch framing leaves a lot to be desired. That's taken another hit this year. Diaz, maybe it's small sample size for the most part. I mean, he's got to go into a lull at some point, and he's got to go back to earth, but... Even if he could hover around 300, which is 100 points off his batting average, that's not that bad. And then in AAA, Jacob Stallings is
a serviceable major league catcher.
Yeah. I mean, if the Pirates are probably deeper at that position than St. Louis is, even with Yadier Molina healthy right now. And as for beating up the Cardinals, I don't think anyone in this division is that particularly good. I mean, Milwaukee, I'm not impressed with their pitching. I know last year they were a surprise team. They had the sneaky good starting rotation, but I felt like that was really just overachieving for the most part. St. Louis, they're losing their MVP, and obviously, again, smaller sample size, pretty much the smallest of one series, but they didn't look that particularly good that first series against the Pirates. And they've also had a couple other people hit the DL. Matt Carpenter isn't hitting. So they're pretty much relying on Tommy Pham and Jose Martinez, who, 28-year-old first baseman, 30-year-old first-time center fielder, both of them pre-arb, which any other team besides the St. Louis Cardinals and their devil magic, they'd be done for pretty much. Chicago, their rotation hasn't looked that great for the most part. Yu's been streaky. Same with Chatwood. Obviously, Quintana is a stud and an ace. But I don't know if they're that particularly good yet. But then again, they slept walk until about July last year. So we'll reserve judgment on them. This isn't that great a division.
No, not by any means.
So if the Pirates can keep winning the division and stay relatively healthy. Obviously, they lost Harrison, but he might be able to hang around. I wouldn't be that surprised. I'm reaching the point where it's like, okay, it's not early season anymore, where it's like, okay, this team's streaky, but they're winning the games that they have to. Offense looks real good.
But also real bad at times.
Well, that goes with this being young and being streaky.
Right.
But no. I think as a whole, I'm willing to say that this team has a better chance of being good than bad. I'm still not willing to go up to your 86 win prediction. I'm still feeling better about that 81-ish that I laid down, but eh, it's going to be interesting.
The two guys that they're attempting to replace Yadi with, the first one is Francisco Pena. He's a 28-year-old catcher. And the second is Carson Kelly, a 23-year-old prospect of sorts. Pena's had 10 at-bats all year. He's had 10 at-bats in 2018. He had 10 last year with the Orioles. So he's gotten two hits in that time span. While Carson Kelly's a 171 career hitter, appearing over two spans in 2016 and 2017. So this is the time to maximize beating the Cards, especially this month coming up. If you can, you're replicating what you did against them before is not, probably not going to happen as much as we could sit here and would love for that to happen. Sweeps of the Cardinals are always nice. However, winning series, that's going to prove a long way when it comes August, September time to really see how the Pirates shake out. Should they still be within the hunt for the division?
Yeah. And you know what? This next month doesn't look that intimidating anymore because there's two games in Chicago against the White Sox. Then this Andrew McCutchen guy is coming to Pittsburgh.
Never heard of him.
The weekend after. Yeah. He's coming with the fairly pedestrian Giants. I think that's fair to say. Now that, I don't know, is Cueto officially on the DL? I know he was getting checked out.
I'm pretty sure he is. If not, okay. I'm not 100% sure.
All right. So they're not going to face Bumgarner if they don't have to face Cueto. That rotation seems fairly toothless. Then they got the
two
White Sox.
Two wild card pitchers in a row. Where's Arrieta at? Oh, he already.
Did their time against Arrieta. White Sox again. Four games against the Padres. Then the Reds. Then the Yadier Molina-less Cardinals. Then three against the Cubs. That's going to be an interesting series. And then a four-game set in St. Louis. For the next month, with plenty of off days in between, four of them,
yeah,
this might be a good time to circle and be like, all right, let's see if this team's legit. I know I said earlier on in the episode of Cannonballs that you robbed away from me that
right.
Memorial Day is the day I usually circle as the, okay, teams that are in the playoffs or lined up for a playoff spot on Memorial Day usually make the playoffs. Last year, out of the 10 teams that were in a potential playoff spot at that time, nine of them made it. So, 28th against the Cubs. I mean, that's Memorial Day. It's not that intimidating of a schedule until then. They're hanging around the division. They're beating the division. It's going to be interesting.
Absolutely. And I think the best part for the Pirates moving forward is that there isn't really a runaway superior team early in the season in the National League. You look at the AL and you've got Boston with 24
wins. Probably the Diamondbacks.
Right. You've got Boston and the Yankees with 24 wins apiece. And then you've got Houston, LA, and Seattle who are hovering around the same record as the Pirates in the NL Central. So, obviously, the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, and I guess we talk about how pedestrian the Giants are, and they're 19-15, which is a game better than a half game better than what the Pirates are at the moment. Although I thought they've been hot of late, winning eight of their last 10. So that's what's boosted that more than anything. But it's the NL is up for grabs. I mean, NL West, obviously you've got Arizona, but the wild card and divisions are still in play for all of these teams. Obviously we're not to Memorial Day yet. So it's only going to continue to get tighter. But you look at the way, way ahead wild card, the Pirates are in the game out. And the team there, one of the teams they're behind, obviously, is the Brewers and the Rockies. And those teams are both at 20-15. So the Pirates sit here at 19-16. They've split 5-5 of the last 10. So it's going to be interesting to see how, if they can come out of this month with maybe plus five, plus six in the win column, above 500, then they're going to be sitting very pretty throughout, going into the month of June in the dog days of the summer.
All right. What's my favorite word?
Prognostication.
Yes. Our weekly prognostications, then. Two in Chicago against the White Sox. I'm just going to call those two wins for the Bucks. And then three against San Francisco. I'll say two out of three there. So I'm saying 4-1 this week with plenty of off days in between.
Yeah, these off days are screwing up the mojo. I think they're going to split in Chicago and sweep the Giants.
All right, so we're both 4-1 here?
Yeah, that's not very fun.
That's
you know
fun
what?
Enough.
I think they're going to sweep. Let's go
five. No. Here's the tiebreaker. This is the only one that matters this week. Tuesday, the game where I'm in Altoona. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, in Curve, PA. Who do you got there? You got the Curve or who are they playing on Tuesday?
You don't even know who they're playing.
No, but I got a good feeling about those scrappy double-A underdogs from that Bowie.
The Bay Sox. You know, the
Did someone vulture some games away from you last year against Bowie? I wonder who that was.
So, looking ahead, this is actually – I don't know how accurate this is. I haven't really – I've been paying attention. But as a – prior to the game getting rained out today, Joe Musgrove was going to throw tomorrow – or today as in Monday. Now he's scheduled to pitch Tuesday in Altoona.
Yeah. And then Keller on Wednesday.
So you're going to vulture a Keller start and a Joe Musgrove start. However, I'll still be there to see Musgrove throw. But
yeah,
I've got to go Altoona. If you want to take
you'll
the
go
Bay Sox,
Altoona?
I can't go against the hometown team. Not with the pitcher that's going to go at least four innings.
All right, then just for the sake of argument, I'll go with Bowie.
It's unfortunate, but I understand.
I'll go with Ziggy Stardust.
Let's talk more about your visit to Curve, PA. You're going to be in attendance Tuesday, so I can pay my debts to you. I do owe you a Curve
burger.
How close were we on our prognostications from last week? You're supposed to keep track.
Yeah, I was supposed to keep track. I took the first one. First week we did it. You took the second one. I guess I took this last one since I had three wins or under.
And then
I feel like you need to – from now on, we're going to wipe the scoreboard clean here. You have to actually get the exact right number of wins.
Okay.
We're changing the rules on everyone.
We'll change the rules every week if we have to.
Yes. So make sure that neither one of us wins.
You're going to be here Tuesday and Wednesday to see Keller in person as well as Musgrove throw on his rehab start. It's funny how things work out that way. What are you looking forward to most coming to cover the Curve with me?
I'll be honest. I've been hearing so much about Keller, but I haven't seen him pitch in a regular season game yet. So that's where I'm at right now. That's what I'm excited.
You didn't see him pitch in the playoffs, did you?
I did not. I mean, I saw highlights afterwards,
right.
But I have, and I've seen, you know, some spring training stuff, but I haven't seen him in a actual game situation.
So I'm
excited to see that.
Good. No, it should be a good atmosphere on Wednesday morning. Kids will be there. So hopefully you enjoy kids. Is that game?
Yeah, sure.
It's 10:30, so you'll be home in plenty of time to catch the Pirates play at 2, since they're in the central time zone. But it'll be fun. And like we said before, as we opened up this broadcast, or this podcast, I apologize, we will be recording Clear the Deck live on Facebook Live, coming up from the ballpark pregame, to really kick off our coverage on Facebook. And look towards our Locked On Pirates page as we bring out more content and straight to your desktops. Through Facebook, through our Twitter page at Locked On Pirates, and you can follow both Alex and I on Twitter at Alex J. Stumpf for Alex and for me, Jared Prugar. Finally, 95% of the way through the show, I introduced myself, so it's good. I had to get the shout-outs out of the way first, and I kind of forgot that really what my name was, so I had to look that up. But you can follow me at jprugar26 on the old Twitter sphere, Let's get our followers up for Alex and myself. I'd like to be over 1,000 someday. Maybe get that blue check here eventually. Same with Alex. Now that we're big time podcasters with a following of probably not as many as we'd like, but
keep there listening. Are dozens of us, Michael. Dozens.
At least you can use your both hands and feet to count. But for Alex Stumpf, this has been Jared Prugar. Alex, any final thoughts?
No, I just did it. The Arrested Development. Dozens!
For Alex Stumpf, this has been Jared Prugar for Clear the Deck on Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. Enjoy your Monday, Pirates fans.